So within the first week of my first attempt at seminary, I heard various stories from my classmates as to why they felt called to ministry. That first week was actually the week that sent me running away from seminary. You see, those people were weird. They had some goofy stories, and I wasn't all too convinced that they were even true. One particular student shared about a dream he had had where God's voice spoke to him from a burning bush. Really? He couldn't even come up with something more original? He had to plagiarize it from the Old Testament? Another woman shared about her experience driving home from work one day, and her car just stopped in the middle of the road. She couldn't get it going, and over the radio she heard, for some reason the radio was still working, over the radio she heard God's voice say to her, "I will fix your car if you become a pastor." I admit I was so disgusted by the glaringly untrue that I didn't even think to ask what God's voice sounded like. Of course, none of this could have been true, right? Because God never spoke to me that way. Thankfully, God never stranded me in the middle of the road and giving me an ultimatum to go to seminary. I was convinced that they all needed their heads examined. Hearing someone tell you that they have heard God's voice sometimes seems cause for alarm. But I have to admit that now I am quite jealous. I have become jealous of those who have had those mountaintop experiences, those absolute moments when God leaves no room for doubt. Hearing God's voice, seeing an angel, the stories of people who have near-death experiences, and they meet God. Stories of people who have felt such an overpowering presence among them, or even the moments where people were directed to do something out of their norm, that they witnessed something amazing. God comes to them in such a way that they cannot doubt God's presence is with them. Wouldn't it be nice if God was always so clear and apparent? I mean, if there was no doubt, everyone would believe, right? And of course, when Peter and James and John saw Jesus turn dazzling white, and they heard that voice from the cloud say, "This is my son, listen to him," they knew exactly what was going on. There was no doubt as to God's presence among them. They understood completely. Nope, in all of the stories about the transfiguration, the moment when Jesus is revealed, there is fear, trembling, terror. I'm sure somewhere lost in the translation is something about them pinching themselves to determine if this was really happening or if it was just a dream. The disciples had witnessed Jesus perform miracles. They had heard him teach and speak. But this moment up on the mountain with the clouds and the voice, this was beyond their understanding. But yet another glimpse into God's mighty work. When they walked down that mountain, they probably were relieved that Jesus told them to tell no one, because they weren't quite sure what to make of it themselves. And who knows if anyone would have believed them. The thing about God's work, though, is that God is very clear and apparent to us. It's just that we get in the way. God speaks to us all the time. God directs us in all sorts of ways. God brings countless opportunities before us to tell God's story. We, like Peter and James and John, might feel God pushing us. And then we get scared. We become filled with terror of the unknown, afraid of the ridicule, fear of being wrong. And we stop from listening. We stop from hearing. We turn from God's guidance. and find ways to justify why this is not the right time. Or we try to twist God's words into what we want it to be. We have to keep in mind that the disciples didn't yet know what Jesus' ultimate act would be. Jesus had been telling the disciples that the Messiah would die and rise again in 3 days. He had dropped clues about where he was going. No one else could follow. But they didn't have it as clear as we do. As much as we think it would be nice if God was more clear with us, the truth is, God is. We have more knowledge about God than the disciples did. Peter, James, and John were just getting a glimpse. But we have seen the bigger picture. Being witness to God's word, we know that God's work was to set us free so that we no longer need to fear what's in store. While some people might have the momentous mountaintop experience where God is revealed to them, like Christ was revealed, many of us may seem to only experience God in the everydayness of life. But regardless of how we interpret our experience with God, we do experience God. We experience God each Sunday through the bread and the wine of Holy Communion. Some weeks we might feel like that is a mountaintop-like experience. And other weeks, just a simple routine. But Christ is transfigured before us when we hear of the relief the pantry shares when they receive a pallet of mac and cheese. We see Christ transfigured before us when we watch a child grow to know God's love, when we receive forgiveness from a loved one, when we tell of God's grace and love to another. Every moment that Christ is transfigured before us is another time that we clearly hear God's voice among the chaos of this world. And God's voice reassures us that Christ is God's Son, that he died for our sins, and that we are freed from fear. If we can look past the chaos around us, we will see Christ transfigured right before us. And we will see God's transforming work within us. Amen.